Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." What an amazing word that is, accepted. I'll tell you where I'm going with this whole message this morning, and that is this. I want you to know that God has accepted you. That's where we're going this morning. That's what I want you to get from this whole message. Have you ever wanted to be accepted but didn't feel like you were? I've been there. I spent a lot of time there. Do you remember collect calls? Now, everybody has a cell phone, almost. And so collect calls may almost be a thing of the past. I haven't made a collect call since I was in Bible college about 20 years ago. And I'm sure my parents are very thankful for that. They spent a lot of money for me to call home. This was back before cell phone days. Just in case you don't know what a collect call is, let me remind you. First of all, you pick up the receiver off the wall. There's a cord that attaches the phone to the wall. I know you might think this is crazy, but really it did exist. You'd pick the phone up off the wall, and there was a cord that would connect it, and then you'd dial zero. Sometimes you'd push the number zero. Sometimes you would start way over here on the dialer and go all the way around, and that was that zero? Was that nine? I forget now. It's been a while. You dial zero, and then you wait for the operator. The operator comes on, and you say, "I want to make a collect call." How many of you remember this? Okay. And then you tell the operator the number you want to call, and you tell them your name. So, for example, I'd pick up the phone, I'd push zero, I'd wait till the operator picked up, and they'd have a nasally kind of voice, "Operator, may I help you?" You know, something like that. And then you'd say, "Yes, I'd like to make a collect call, too." And I'd tell my parents' phone number. I think that's the only people I ever called collect. I don't think I ever called my in-laws collect. I may have. Did I? I did. I'm being reminded that I did. So I'm still paying for that. Here's the number I want to call. And then they ask you for your name. And you tell them your name. You listen as the phone rings. The person you want to call, hopefully they answer. But you can't talk. They'll say hello, and you can't say anything. I mean, you can, but they don't hear you. And the operator says, "Would you like to accept a collect call from," and then your name will play. If you said your name, sometimes it'd be a recording. Or sometimes they'd ask you to say your name right there, and then the person would hear your name. So the operator says to the other person, "Would you like to accept a collect call from," in my case, it was David. And then you're thinking, "I sure hope they say yes. I hope this is my own parents or in-laws," as it may be. Not, they weren't in-laws yet. "I didn't call you collect as in-laws. I called you collect before you were in-laws." And I think, that's right. Okay, now that was my, time out just for a moment. That was my wife calling collect, right? I was sick. Montezuma's Revenge or something. I got to tell this story now. Montezuma's Revenge. I was sick. I thought I was going to die. We were in Mexico, and that was it an $80 5-minute phone call? Something like that. He still remembers, right? That's why I said I'm still paying for this. Have you ever felt like you wanted to be accepted? Sometimes you weren't, sometimes you were. There was a story I heard about a mother was away all weekend at a business conference. During a break, she decided to call home, and she was going to call home collect. Her 6-year-old son picked up the phone and heard a stranger's voice saying, "We have Marcia on the line. Will you accept the charges?" He dropped the phone and ran outside frantic, yelling, "Dad, they've got Mom, and they want money." He didn't quite get what a collect call was. God says this, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to get to verse number 6 in a moment. Ephesians 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Our choir is saying this morning, "I have been blessed." And I just want to echo that. We have truly been blessed. Now, this verse is talking about spiritual blessings. We'll get to that in a moment. The blessings that we enjoy today were purchased by the sacrifices of so many that have gone before us. It's Veterans Day this week, and I choked back tears as we walked through the Denny's table to table and said, "Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service." It's hard to say. I was trying to say without bawling like a baby like I sometimes do. And face after face after face, I looked at them and I realized it's because of these people that I have the freedom to do what I'm doing right now. We're truly blessed. Patrick Henry said, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." The greatest blessing that we have just might be freedom. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for themselves and their families. Of the 56, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Freedom, an amazing thought. We heard the voice of Ronald Reagan. There's something about that. It's just kind of a calming. Freedom, he said, the Americans hold freedom. It's so high. Freedom opens the doors to so many other blessings. To be specific, I'm free to live because a soldier was willing to die. And as big as that is, God has even greater blessings planned for you than that. The Bible says, "Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And God offers these blessings to you, and that's what this message is about. We'll get to those in just a moment. God wants to bless you in these ways, but you've got to accept them in order to receive them. Salvation is very much like that. I talked to a young man yesterday. He's 20 years old, and I was able to show him how God's already paid the price for sin. He died on the cross. He's already accepted him just the way he is, And I was able to show him that if he would accept God's free gift of eternal life, that salvation could be his. What an amazing thing that was to be able to see the light in this young man's eyes as he realized the payment has already been made. Jesus already died on the cross, and I've simply got to accept that. But you do have the choice to accept or to reject that. You may have heard of a Japanese soldier after World War II. His name, I may not say it exactly right, I believe it's Soichi Yokoi. He lived in a cave on the island of Guam. He ran to that cave in 1944 whenever the tides of the war began to change. He was afraid for his life. He ran to the cave. After being in the cave, he was again afraid because if he came out now, he was afraid of being executed for running from the battle. In 1944, he ran to that cave, and he lived in that cave for 28 years. He lived in the jungle hiding. He came out at night. He lived on frogs, rats, snails, shrimp, nuts, mangoes. He made a jacket out of the fibers of the leaves of the trees. He knew the war was over. This is the amazing thing. He found out, he realized the war was over several years into living in the cave, but he continued to live in this cave because he was afraid if he came out of hiding, he'd be executed. Here's the thought. He was a self-imposed prisoner. The war had been fought. The war was over. He could have come out and he could have, as he eventually did once he was found, he could have lived a life in peace and he could have returned to his family, but he didn't accept the fact of the war being over, and he stayed hiding until two, I believe it was hunters, came out and they found him. At last he was free, he had new clothes to wear, food to eat, he was taken by plane to his home, he became a hero. God has great blessings for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What I'm going to show you this morning, these blessings are for you. He's accepted you, he chose you, we'll see that in just a moment. He's already done all that he needs to do. What you need to do is accept what he's done for you. So jump over here to chapter 1, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says this: "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." I want you to get this. First of all, he chose you. God chose you. This is an amazing thought. Before the foundation of the world, before God created the world, he had already chosen you. You have been chosen by God. This is not saying that God chose a few people to be saved and the rest to go to hell. This is saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God chose to save you before the world began. He chose to save me. In fact, God died on the cross. He paid the price for every sin that any person ever committed. He chose you before you had a chance to do right or to do wrong. He chose you. He paid the price when he died on the cross for you. Are you going to receive that? I've struggled with not getting chosen in my life. I remember clearly as a third or fourth grader, it's an honor to have Steve Covington with us here today. He was my PE teacher, third or fourth grade, and our PE uniform was blue jeans with holes in them and I think it was a heather gray blue shirt. And that was PE. That's what we played basketball in. That's what we played football in. That's what we ran track in. That was everything. And I remember him being our PE teacher. I remember lining up across the fence back in that backfield by the irrigation ditch, Brother Steve. And I remember standing against that fence and standing there hoping somebody would choose me for their team. And other people getting chosen and not getting chosen as one of the littler kids in the club. You know what that feels like if you were ever the one that didn't get chosen. I remember I tried out for a college tour group. Now, the college tour group is a group that goes around the college representing the college to the country and tries to recruit people for their college. And one of the teachers stood up and said, some of you, young man, you're being selfish. You're not even trying out for the college tour group. You need to go try out for college tour group. I took it as a personal directive, I guess. And I went and I tried out for the college tour group. Didn't matter that I couldn't sing. Didn't matter that I didn't know anything about music. And then I was going to try out because it was the right thing to do. So the morning that I was going to try out, I slept in. I didn't mean to, but I just didn't wake up in time. I threw my clothes on. I don't even know if I shaved that morning. That's why you keep those knit sweatshirts around. Because if you don't have time to iron your clothes, you can throw a sweatshirt on. I didn't have a sports coat to wear. So I threw my sweater on, put my tie, ran down. You know that morning voice that you have before you don't even talk to anybody else. You just go out and you try to sing with that morning voice. And I tried out for the tour group. And they had me stand up in front of them. And they treated me with respect. They said, thank you, Mr. Reyes, for trying out. That's pretty much the end of it. Later that week, I had a note hand-delivered to my dorm room, put on my bed. It said something like this: on every parade, a little rain must fall. Today, I must be that little rain cloud, and I'm sorry to rain on your parade, but you didn't make the tour group. You ever wanted to be chosen for something, but just not quite doing it? When I was in high school, I was a senior in high school, I was Eagle Scout, and so there's this opportunity that came up for Eagle Scouts to apply to go spend the summer, actually it would have been the winter, but the summer down there in Antarctica. And I applied for that. I'm glad I didn't win that. But looking back, but I applied for it. And I thought this would be so awesome. Only one Eagle Scout in the country makes it every year. I applied for it. I made it through a couple levels, but I didn't get chosen. Is my story like yours? You try for this and don't get chosen. You try for this and you don't get chosen. You try for this and you don't get chosen. What I want you to realize is before the foundation of the earth, before God created anything, God chose you. He loves you. And here's what I want you to get. Before you had an opportunity to choose right or wrong, God chose you. I talked to a man who was doing our air conditioning. I forget his name. And when this last summer, we were working on air conditioning, getting that all fixed. I invited him to church. He said, you know, Pastor, I asked him this. I said, you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die? He said, Pastor, I know I'm not. I know I'm not. I said, well, why? How could you know that you're not? I mean, most people would say, at least I hope so. But he said, I know I'm not. Here's what he told me. He said, Pastor, I was in, I think it was Iraq or Afghanistan. He said, I had to do things there that I can't even tell you about. He said, there's no way that God would accept me. Here's what I want you to know this morning. If you're in that situation, God chose you even before those decisions came up. Before the foundation of the earth, God chose you. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and paid the price for every sin that you or I committed. You are chosen. You are special to God. God chose you before you had a chance to do right or wrong. And he didn't change his mind. He wants to make you holy. He wants to make you blameless because he loves you. Let me read that again. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He didn't choose the people that were holy and without blame. He chose sinners just like me, just like you. He says, I want to make you holy. And I want to make you blameless because I love you. There's a man named John Vianney. He said this: God will pardon a repentant sinner more quickly than a mother would snatch her child out of a fire. I want you to think about that just for a moment. God would pardon a repentant sinner more quickly than a mother would snatch her child out of a fire. God loves you so much. And we see in this verse, he chose you. Look at verse number 5, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. And I want you to see this. This is awesome. He decided to adopt you, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God wants to have a new relationship with you. He wants to be your father. God wants you to have a new identity. He wants you to be his child. What a thought this is. I'm a sinful person. I'm destined to spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. But God loved me so much that he chose me and he wants to adopt me into his family. And the same is true for you. He wants you to be a son of or daughter of God. He wants to be a child of God, and he wants to be your father. I've heard of this story before, but I didn't research it till last night. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. But let me tell you a story. His mother was a drug addict. His father was murdered. He repeated both the first and second grades. That means he didn't score high enough to go on, so he had to repeat both of those grades. He went to 11 different schools in his first 9 years as a student. He was dumped into foster care at age 7. One cold November morning, while he was walking along the road in shorts and a t-shirt, a Christian husband and wife turned their car around and picked him up so that he could sit in their car and get warm. They brought him to their home. Eventually, they adopted him. They paid his last 2 years of Christian school. They helped him get into college. And that was 10 years ago. Since then, Michael Orr, who now plays for the Carolina Panthers, has signed contracts with the NFL for over $60 million. Now, that's just an American success story, but what I want you to get is this. What a difference a loving family made in his life. They decided to adopt him. Now, God's already decided that he wants to adopt you into his family. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done. God wants you in his family. He chose you. He has already decided to adopt you. Look at verse number 6. We've read this, but I'll read it again. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Have you ever heard of the Passover lamb? You remember that. Once a year, the Jewish nation, they would celebrate the Passover, and the Hebrew people would choose a spotless lamb as a sacrifice. It's supposed to be a lamb that was without blemish. The Passover lamb was a lamb that was offered in their place. And God accepted them, the people, because of the sacrifice of the unblemished lamb. That first Passover, God told them to take a lamb without blemish and kill the lamb and to put its blood on the doorposts of their door. And whenever the death angel passed over, he would pass over them. And that's why it was called Passover. God accepted them because of the sacrifice of the unblemished lamb. And this morning, God accepts you because of the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Not because you're good, not because you're perfect, not because you're innocent, not because of who you are, but because of Jesus is. Not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. I want to make something clear before I move on. God chose you. God has decided to adopt you. And God has accepted you. This is all written to Christians. You've got to understand that. This passage is written to people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. God accepts you just like you are. God has paid the price for your sins. God has chosen you. God has chosen to adopt you into his family. But that's all dependent on what you do with Jesus Christ. Do you accept him? Do you trust him as your Savior? And it's not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did. I heard a story about a man. He held the door open for a lady at the store, just being a gentleman. She got mad and said to him, "You don't have to hold the door open for me just because I'm a woman." And he looked at her and said, "Ma'am, I'm not holding the door for you because of who you are. I'm holding the door for you because of who I am, and I'm a gentleman." Jesus doesn't save us because of who we are. Not because of where you come from, not because you come from a good family, not because your parents go to church. Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for your sin because of who he is. He is God and he loves you so much. Look at verse number 7. God chose you. He's decided to adopt you. He accepts you. And look at verse 7. He died for you. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. That video, we've showed that video before, but it's got such a powerful statement And that statement is this: I fought for you. I've watched that video dozens of times. I edited it. When you edit a video, you watch it until you're tired of watching it. But I can't get past the point where the man is sitting between his kids, I think maybe his wife on one side and his kid on the other side, and he puts his hands on their knees and he said, I fought for you. I can hardly get past that point every time without tears just wanting to come out. And even when I'm by myself in my office, I'm thinking, he fought for them. That old guy, he fought for me. I don't even know him. He fought for me. Let me give you a more powerful statement. He didn't say this, but as Jesus was dying on the cross, he could have. I died for you. I died for you. What a thought that is. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his grace. If somebody was to look at you in the context of what we're understanding today and say, I fought for you, how could you disrespect a person like that? When you realize, and these, as they're watching the video, you see the footage rolling of World War I and World War II and Vietnam, and you see that, and for somebody to look right at you in the eyes and say, son, daughter, grandson, I fought for you. How could you look at them with disrespect after that? How could you rebel against that? How could you look someone in the face that has fought for you and reject their love? How could you hate them? I couldn't understand it. Even in the video, the boys take their earphones out and put everything else away and say, wow, this is special. They fought for it. How much more then when Jesus says, I died for you? How can you rebel against that? How can you disrespect that? How can you hate somebody that says, I died for you? There was a Hebrew lady. She was running for her life from the German Gestapo in France during World War II. She knew she was close to being caught and she was just about to give up. She came to the home of a French Huguenot. That would have been similar to what we are, but a French person. A widow lady met her and said that it was time to flee to a new place. The Jewish lady said, it's no use. They're going to find me anyway. They're so close behind. This Christian widow looked right at her and said, yes, they will find someone here, but it's time for you to leave. Go with these people to safety. I will take your identification and I'll wait here. You run. The Jewish lady understood the plan. The Gestapo would come and they'd find the Christian widow and think that she was the fleeing Jew. Later, the Hebrew lady said, I asked her why she was doing that. And the widow responded, it's the least I can do. Christ has already done that and more for me. The Hebrew lady ran and her life was spared. The widow was caught and imprisoned in the Jewish lady's place. Within 6 months, she was dead in a concentration camp. Later, the Hebrew lady accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. What a great picture. I died for you. You know, our sins are keeping us from eternal life in heaven. Romans 3:23 says it so clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Our sins are keeping us from eternal life in heaven. God wants to give you these blessings. He's chosen you. He's accepted you. He wants to adopt you. God loves you so much, He died for your sins and will accept you just the way you are. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has accepted you just like you are. He paid the price for your sin. Then He says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Jesus died on the cross, He looked into the future and He saw you. He saw everything good and He saw everything bad you were ever going to do. And as He was hanging on the cross, He paid the price for your sin. Every one of them. Not just the ones that you committed up till today, but the ones that you're going to commit the rest of your life. He paid the price for every one of those sins, and He wants to offer you a free gift of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. It is simply up to you to accept it as the gift that it is. You can't earn it. You can't go to church and get it. You can't buy it. You've simply got to accept it as the free gift that it is. Everything for your eternal life has been done when Jesus died on the cross. All you need to do is accept what God has done for you. It's called salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, if you were to die, would you be in heaven? God paid the price for your sins. He's already chosen you. He's accepted you just like you are. He's predetermined that He wants to adopt you into His family. And now all He's waiting is for you to except. For whosoever, that's anybody, that's me, that's you, shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's basically, it's this. It's to trust God enough to ask Him to forgive you. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to die and go to hell. I realize Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for my sins, and I want to accept that free gift of eternal life. If you've never done that, today would be a great day to do. God's chosen you. He accepts you just like you are. You don't have to fix yourself up before you come to God. God will fix you up afterwards. He's accepted you just like you are. He's paid the price for your sins. And now He just says, just come. Not to me, not to the church, not to a pastor, but to Jesus. Come to the cross. Come to where Jesus died and just simply have that conversation with Him. God, from my heart, I understand I'm a sinner. I do understand the punishment for my sin. It is to die, it's to go to hell. But I'm going to trust that Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. And I'm going to accept that payment as full and complete payment for my sins. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for letting us have some time this morning. Lord, we wanted to honor veterans this morning. But more than that, I want people here to understand just how much you love them. I want people here to understand that no matter how bad they are, no matter how bad I am, you've already paid the price for our sins on the cross. And you want to forgive us just like we are. You want to accept us right where we are at. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to trust you as their Savior, I pray that you'd give them the courage to do that. Lord, we're surrounded by courageous people this morning. But Lord, maybe one of them hasn't yet made this decision to trust you as their Savior. Lord, this morning I pray that you'd help them to make that decision.